Did you know you can't separate serving and selling? One without the other is confusing for your potential clients. Selling drives revenue and serving builds relationships. It's the harmonious blend of both that propels businesses towards sustainable success. Hello, action taker. Welcome to Live Blissed Out, a podcast where I have inspirational and informational conversations with business owners and subject matter experts to help you get the scoop on a variety of topics. Tired of hesitating or making decisions without having the big picture? Want to be in the know? Then this is the place to go. I'm your host, Marissa Houston, helping you achieve bliss through awareness and action. So let's get to it. Liz Wendling is a nationally recognized speaker, sales consultant, and author of 6 books. Her 2 most recent are The Heart of Authentic Selling and Sell Without Selling Your Soul. Liz is driven by the mantra, it's not what you sell, it's how you sell that matters. Liz understands the sales challenges professionals face when selling in today's competitive environment. She shows them how to make a profound difference in their sales approach, language, and process online and offline. Whether for her one-on-one consulting, group coaching, multiple-day training, or workshops, Liz will customize her sales clinic programs around the specific needs, challenges, and objectives a business faces. Liz has coached thousands of professionals to build solid business skills, develop a success mindset, exceed sales expectations, and prosper in any economy. To learn more, visit lizwendling.com. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. Hey, Liz, it's so great to have you here today.
Well, it's so nice to be here and talking to you.
Yeah, I'm super thrilled about the conversation we're going to have. Tell our listeners what they can expect and what they're going to get out of this conversation.
Oh, yeah, we are going to be talking about serving and selling, because serving and selling is critical to every single business. There isn't a business on this planet that doesn't stay in business because someone is serving and selling at the same time. So I tell people that serving and selling are interconnected, and they're interconnected parts of the sales process. And if you can think of serving and selling as inhaling and exhaling, both are critical for sustaining your life and your business. You don't want to spend all day just inhaling, which is the equivalent of serving, and you don't want to spend your whole day exhaling, which is the equivalent of selling. You need both. I use the example of a circle. You can't tell where the circle starts and stops, and you can't tell in a really strong and robust, nice, authentic sales conversation where the serving and selling starts and stops. It's just a beautiful conversation between two people who potentially could use each other or need each other or can buy from each other or help each other. And anybody who makes it anything more than that is making selling harder than it needs to be. It's making growing their business way harder than it needs to be. And for people who embrace selling in the way that it is, which is helping, it's learning, it's listening, it's getting people what they need, then selling shouldn't be something that people avoid and resist in their business. And every day I talk to people say, I love what I do, but I hate to sell. Well, that's the equivalent of saying, I love what I do, but I hate making money. I love what I do, but I don't need to close business. They could think about it that way, that they're putting up the resistance, and that's why people don't buy from them.
That is so true. I think here's where the challenge is for a lot of people. They don't understand the differences in the sense that they feel like selling means I need to convince somebody to do something or get something that they don't really need. And when you go into it from that perspective, then it can be intimidating because you're essentially trying to convince somebody to get something that they're really not invested in.
That's right. And who wants that? First of all, if anybody is thinking that and even doing that, people will pick up on that. Your prospects will know, this lady's just trying to sell me something. But if you go in energetically with that feeling that, oh, I don't want to sell them anything. Oh, I don't want them to think I'm selling. Then what you're conveying is you're about to waste my time. If what you have to sell is what I need, I expect you to talk about it. I want you to help me get the relief I need. Stop dancing around the subject and have a conversation about what relief looks like. What a process would look like if we work together. If you don't do that for someone, then you are wasting their time. All you're doing is being a servant. Nobody wants to do business with a servant anymore. They want to do business with a professional equal. For example, you go to a mechanic or an orthopedic surgeon and you've got a transmission problem or a tendon problem. And the mechanic and the orthopedic surgeon ask questions. They want to find out where it hurts, where the noise is coming from, where the issues are in your car or your body. Imagine a mechanic or an orthopedic surgeon never telling you how they can solve your problem, never talking to you about what a new transmission might look like or how we can find maybe a used transmission versus a brand new one. Or an orthopedic surgeon saying, well, let's talk about some of the options out there now for putting a tendon back together. That's serving and selling. Could you imagine making a doctor's appointment, paying a copay, and having a doctor only tell you all about the scalpels and how great they are at asking questions or finding out what's wrong with you, but they don't offer you any sort of resolution? It's confusing and it's annoying. So that's why people today, a lot of times say, I'm going to need to think about it, or thank you for your time. You've been very helpful. I appreciate you talking to me. Everybody has to close the loop between the serving and selling and make that circle so cohesive that you are helping that person either get what they need or not. Maybe now isn't the right time. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You have to be willing to step into that conversation.
You used a key word that resonates with me, and that's timing. I think that a lot of us struggle with that piece. We don't know when it's the right time. What if they never need our services? Or what if they do, but we just weren't in front of them at the time that they needed it? How do we address the timing issue so that people don't feel like we're forcing them into something that is not necessarily something they don't have a problem with? They're just not ready to take the leap right now.
It's talking about it. It's going in and asking questions. That's the serving piece. I might say something maybe to you, Marissa. Hey, Marissa, it sounds like maybe the timing is off for doing something like this, or it sounds like you're not at the point right now to take a big leap and jump into a program like this. Am I correct? Talk about it. So many people are afraid to ask questions that get to the truth. And the more questions you ask that helps people understand that you're not trying to just sell them, you're trying to understand, when is the timing right? When would be a good time for us to talk again? When's our next step? What would you like us to do next? Do you want me to call you, send you something? It's a dance. You're not dragging someone on the dance floor, doing a tango and trying to wrestle them to the ground and getting them to buy. So the mindset that people have around sales is that they have this one chance to close this business, when in fact, business is closed over time. I don't close every person I talk to, but I understand the process of keeping them engaged, staying in front of them, understanding when we're going to call each other again, because I treat them like the human being they are, not a sale. I talk to them like a human being going through a decision-making process, and they might not be ready. And I honor that, and I love them anyway. And if they come back, it'll happen. And if not, I still like them.
Yeah. And I think what's happening a lot now, Liz, is we're so concerned about saying the right thing or how the other person is going to take something that we say. And so we have this guard, and we're so fearful of even asking a question because we feel like, oh, they might think we're too pushy, or overanalyzing the situation, don't you think?
I do. And you said two words that jumped out at me earlier. You said force, and then you said pushy. But here's the thing. When you start thinking, I don't want to be pushy, I don't want to be salesy, what happens is the brain only hears, be salesy, be pushy. And then the words that you choose actually sound pushy and salesy. So for all those people out there who say, oh, I don't want to be one of those salesy people, I don't want to be pushy, guess what? You actually sound that way because you're so concerned with not doing it that you can't create the authenticity. Your concern is on what you sound like and what you don't want to say versus being authentic and saying what needs to be said. Huge distinction. So when you say you don't want to be salesy, guaranteed you will be. Guaranteed. Instead of declaring, I want to show up today and have this awesome conversation with this person who wants to find out more about my business, and I'm going to have a great conversation and just declare that versus, oh, I hope I'm not salesy. I really don't want to come across pushy. And all the brain knows is that it doesn't hear, I don't want to. It just hears, come across pushy instead of authentic.
It really starts with a mindset. And the two words we're using a lot are serving and selling. And it really is about service first. Because when you serve and people look at you as a resource and they're excited about you being able to help them solve a problem, the selling just happens automatically. It's not something that you force. And a lot of times we reverse it and we say, you need to buy this, you need that. And the person doesn't really feel connected or doesn't really understand what makes you stand out. I think that a lot of people don't really paint a good picture to their prospects or anyone that they come across as to what makes them unique. what they do that's different from everyone else.
That's right. And they think they're supposed to spend hundreds of dollars to have someone help them come up with their unique selling proposition. Have you heard of what that is, a unique selling proposition? What makes you different?
Yes.
Well, these days, it is a waste of time, energy, and money because every unique sales proposition sounds exactly the same. I am committed to my clients. I help them with their peace of mind. I do this and I do that. And then you go ask another person in the same industry and they say the exact same thing. Here is the best way to be different, to be unique, to be seen as someone who is radically different from their competition. And that is to spend some time deciding, who do you want to be when you show up? How do you want to act? What do you want to say that everyone else isn't saying? What are the kind of questions you want to ask someone to open them up and see you as different? And if you don't spend time doing that, you will be put in the box of, she's just like everyone else. He sounds like every other mortgage person, realtor, coach that I talk to. And when everybody sounds the same, it's impossible for a potential client to make a buying decision. Everybody looks the same. If all white blouses look alike, how do I tell the difference which one is better? Everybody looks like a white blouse on the shelf until somebody pops in a red one. That's how people stand out. It's, who are you being? How are you acting? What kind of questions are you asking someone? And are you connected from your heart or your head? Too many people spend time in their head.
Honestly, understanding them is where it all starts. If you take the time to get them, then they already know that you're on their corner. And then the other thing is, how do you make their job easier? Because that's what we all want. We call on services because we want the whole experience to be painless and we want it to be effective. If we can focus on those things, then they'll go, wow, I love working with this person because they're making my life better.
Right. It's the results. People hire people for results, to get something done, to achieve an issue, a problem, a challenge. When it comes to services, if I call a plumbing company and I'm calling three of them, which plumbing company treats me differently? Do they start out the call and say, oh, how can I help you? How'd you hear about us? I do a lot of secret shopping for companies. So when I call three different companies and everybody asks me, so how'd you hear about us, in the first question, then I know that company is all about them, not about me. The focus should be on me and my plumbing issue, not your marketing message. Hey, where'd you find us? Let us know so we can keep marketing there. That tells me how self-centered someone is. Now, they don't do it on purpose. They just think they have to capture that information when in the beginning of the call is the wrong time to do that.
This is a subject matter, Liz, that is so near and dear to my heart. We could go on. I think our listeners are going to really relate to this. I have this HVAC company that I have been doing business with since they installed my HVAC, probably 11 years ago or so. Never use anyone else because I want the same company to be servicing that unit so that I know that they can't say, well, what happened? Did you not do this? Did you not do that? I want a record of everything that's done so that there's accountability. And Liz, every year, not only do they not call me, I call them. And then when I call, they ask me for my name, my address, my phone number. And apparently I'm invisible in the record system. Like, are you a new customer? Are you whatever? I'm like, are you joking? I've been with you for over 11 years. You ask me the same questions every year and you act like you've never heard of me before. And here's the funny thing. The woman that answers is the same woman. It's not like I'm being transferred to some overseas call center. This is the same person and they never acknowledge me ever. Now, why do I stick with them? Primarily because they have done good service. When they send the tech over, the tech is always honest. They always take care of the issue. Their way of relating to me is completely different from the person that's answering the phone. However, there's a huge disconnect between her reception and their reception when they actually show up at your door. And that can be problematic, don't you think?
Oh, yes. There's an incongruency. But my guess is that they don't even know that they don't even know. And they're going through the motions because no one ever said to them, you know what? Every time I call, you ask me the same questions. Do you not have a system? Or I would call the company owner and say, here's been my experience. And if I'm feeling it, I guarantee you others are feeling it. And I'm wondering why you wouldn't fix that. Why you wouldn't want to have me be greeted differently. Oh, Marisa's calling again. Thanks so much for continuing using our services. How could we help you today?
Yes. And to say, oh, we see that the last time you did your service was so-and-so. So I see now it's time. All right, we'll send so-and-so over there. Oh, we saw that Joey went the last time. We'll send him again. I hope everything's good. Just having a nice conversation with customers that have been with you forever It's game-changing, Liz.
Does wonders. It really is. So when people say they hate sales, in my mind, what they hate is old-school sales. They hate the way sales used to be, not the way sales and serving is done today. So when they say, oh, I just hate it, they think they have to be sleazy, pushy, annoying, aggressive, when in fact, not a lot of people sell that way today. They know that that is old school. It makes it really easy for people to discount what selling is. And they say, oh, well, I'm not going to do it because selling is pushy. I'm not going to do it. And what they do is they take themselves out of the game. They take themselves away from ideal clients that would potentially hire them. They give themselves permission to fail by saying, I don't want to sell because it's icky and slimy and sleazy. Instead of saying, maybe there's a better way. Maybe I can sell from my heart and from a better place so that I'm not viewed in that light. But they give themselves permission to cut the very lifeblood of their business off. And that's not to sell.
Yes. And I think what you're saying is authentic selling, being you and listening and really truly caring. We know that there are psychological tactics that some people apply to get the sale. So for example, you might go into a store and you're talking to a salesperson and you happen to mention something. Oh, I love to golf. And all of a sudden, that salesperson's going to go, I love golfing too. They've never golfed in their lives, but they're taught to mimic the person so that the person tends to end up liking them immediately, and then they'll hopefully get the sale quicker. And that is not authentic, and that you never want to pretend to be somebody that you're not just to get a sale.
Are you searching for a trusted merchant service provider for your business? SG Associates LLC is your partner for quality payment and merchant service solutions. With over 15 years of experience in credit card processing, SG Associates offers merchants the best pricing, products, and customer service available from a payment and solution service provider. Their number one goal is to save their merchants as much as possible on their credit card processing fees. To learn how they can help you, call 1-800-455-5211 or visit sg-associatesllc.com.
What if their skills are lousy? I don't care how authentic my orthopedic surgeon is. I want them skilled as well. Or an authentic CPA. I want to know that you have skills to do my taxes. I don't want you to just be authentic. So that message thrown around of just show up and be authentic, that's a bit of a half-truth. You need the skills on top of it.
Totally agree. And I'm so glad that you elaborated on that because yes, people are confused as to what it really means. And it's very important for us to understand when we use a word, what exactly are we referring to when it comes to that? I think one of the ways you can be really authentic is to not be afraid to ask the questions and find out what do they want? Because you have to have the skill, but oftentimes there are expectations you have of a customer in order to apply your skill. For example, let's say you need a piece of art and it needs to be a certain type of art in order for you to do your job. And the customer gives you this low quality resolution thing and they keep sending it to you and you're like, no, I need this, I need that. In the customer's mind, they're going, oh, this is such a hassle. I just want you to put this thing on my thing and I don't understand why we keep going back and forth with this process. And so in their mind, they're thinking, is this person not a professional? But if you set the expectation and you say, listen, if you don't have this art, I can take care of it for you. And here's what it's going to take. So let me know, would you prefer this or would you prefer that? So that people understand what to expect, because that's where the breakdown happens, is when they have expectations that aren't in line with yours.
Yes. When the serving mentality is taken too far and too much serving energy shows up for those people who just say, oh, I just want to serve. That's all I want to do. That's how I get my clients. Sometimes that serving energy makes you look needy, puts you in a less than position because you're showing up as a servant. And what that does is it decreases your credibility and diminishes your value in the eyes of your potential client, because that serving energy conveys, I'm here for you. I'll do anything you want. I can jump through hoops. I'll bend over backwards. I'll stand on my head. I'll turn myself into a pretzel. I'm here to serve you. Nobody wants that. I don't want you bending into a pretzel. I want you to be a professional equal who you and I can have a direct and honest conversation that makes me feel like you heard me and I understand you.
That is so true, Liz. And I think to the point you're bringing up about listening is so important. How many times in a conversation you've had with a client where they need you and they made the decision to do business with you, but they happen to be dealing with a different problem. And it's not something you can particularly solve. But if you're listening, you're going, oh my goodness, I know how you can get help with that, and I can connect you with somebody that might be able to address that issue. Would you like me to take care of that? Now you're thinking outside of the box, and you're really being a partner and not just thinking about yourself and how you're going to get that next sale.
Correct. Well, let's face it. There are crummy marketers out there. There's crummy salespeople. There are crummy dentists out there who are trying to sell you the latest and greatest thing. It isn't just, quote unquote, the sales industry, because everybody is selling something. So there will always be a bunch of bad actors out there. Less and less these days, but they're out there. Let them do their thing. They'll find a different kind of clientele. But for all of the rest of us who want to do this in a way that aligns with our heart and our soul and conveys that we're in this not just for the sale, it has to be a win-win. I have to be able to help you, and then in exchange, you pay me for that help. That's all a sale is. You have an issue. I have the resolution. Will you exchange money for the resolution, just like a transmission or a CPA doing your taxes? That's all it is. And people make it so much harder than it needs to be.
We really overthink everything. And part of it is confidence, mindset, all the things that we've been talking about. Let's think about our listeners for a moment who've heard everything we just talked about. And they're going, okay, I'm pumped. I feel like I need to make a little bit of a tweak so that I can do this better and get outside of myself. Honestly, Liz, a lot of times we're our biggest hurdle. We're the ones that are stopping ourselves more than anything. If there was one strategy that they could walk away with right now, what would that be?
For all those people who say, I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to look like I'm self-serving. I don't want to look like I'm just in it for the sale. Here goes. Stop saying, I would love. I would love to talk to you. I'd love to set up a time to meet with you. I'd love to get on your calendar. I'd love to set up a time where we can get together. Because guess what? It's all about you. I would love is the most self-serving statement you can say to a potential client. That's a demand, not a request. You told me what you want to do to me versus inviting me into a conversation with you. So all these people who say, I hate selling, I don't want to be a salesperson, and spout out, I would love to get on your calendar, I'd love to find out more about your business. Stop that today. Because it isn't about you. It's about both people, both parties, or a whole team of people, whatever it is. It's not about you. Striking, I would love to, and telling someone what you would love to do to them has to be re-engineered and invite them. So if I said to you, hey, Marissa, I would love if you would drive me to the airport later today. I don't really feel like parking my car, sitting in traffic. So I would love it if you did that for me. And now all of a sudden, I put you on the spot. I made you feel like, oh boy, I have to lie to her, or I can't do that. I don't want to do that. So I put you on the spot. And then a lot of times when you say that in an email, people avoid you. They don't get back to you. So then someone says, well, I wonder why we had such a nice conversation and she never returned my emails or my phone calls. Then you do it again and say, I would love to get on your calendar. I'd love to sit down with you. You're putting the resistance right into that email. So when I tell you what I want you to do, Marissa, versus saying, hey, Marissa, I don't know what your schedule looks like sometime later today, but would you be open to, or do you have some time? Is your schedule free to pop me over to the airport? Now I've given you an opportunity to converse versus me telling you what I would love you to do.
I could see the flip on that. You're saying the message, but you're saying it in such a way that it's focused on them and giving them the opportunity to say whether they're comfortable with that.
Bingo. Yep. Even Marissa, the worst one I hear all the time is when people say, oh, I love your hair. I love your boots. I love your shoes. Well, then again, we're taking this beautiful compliment and making it about us. I love your hair. I love your boots versus your hair is spectacular. Have it land differently. Give it the meaning that it deserves. Let that person feel the sentiment of that. You look fabulous. Your podcast is amazing. Instead of me saying, oh, Marissa, I love your podcast. And it sounds self-serving, and it really is all about you. And when we take the focus off of us, and we talked about this earlier, I don't want to sound pushy. I don't want to sound salesy. Well, what if you stop declaring what you don't want and say, I am going to make this conversation about my client. It's all about them. It's not about me. That is one little shift people can make today and have a radical impact in how people respond back to them, how they communicate with them, how quickly they respond to their emails. When you make it about you, you have to send 5 emails. When you make it about them, you send 1.
That is so powerful. We just don't know we're doing this, Liz. We don't. We're thinking we're being very helpful and nice and can't understand why we're not getting through. And it's just that little change
in the way we look at it. And I know this is used a lot. Giving simply means that when you're having a conversation with somebody, you're taking them into consideration throughout the process. People tend to just want to share everything about themselves and be so focused, not realizing they're thinking they're being conversational and building rapport. But in reality, they're coming across in a different way.
That's right. All the way to the end of, let's say, a sales conversation, and the person who's selling says, okay, well, then I'll follow up with you, or I'll stay in touch with you, or I'll send you something. Versus at the end of the conversation, I ask, how would you like us to stay connected? How would you like us to continue the conversation we started? What are your thoughts on another conversation? Instead of me making a demand or a command and saying, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to email you and you're going to pick up the phone or you're going to get back to me. That feels too pushy versus, hey, Marissa, what are your thoughts? I know we had a short conversation today and it sounds like we may have some more stuff to talk about. What would you like to do next? When would you like to pick up where we left off? And now I'm considering you. I'm making it about us, but I'm considering you in my conversation.
The one question I think that we always forget to ask is, how can I help you? We end the conversation and that one person has been so helpful with information or whatever, and we never bother to stop and say, this has been fantastic. How can I help you? Is there something I can do to support you? What are you looking for? Can I introduce you to somebody? And again, it always goes back to asking. If we just ask enough, we're going to get through so much further without as much effort. People just want to know that you're listening. They want to know that you care.
It's true. And I mean this, it is so rare, Marissa, that I get blown off. It is so rare that someone doesn't get back to me or I have to email them 10 times because of my conversations with people, and I make it about both of us. They're included in the conversation and the next step and the next part of the follow-up so that they don't feel like I'm ever being pushy or salesy or doing anything. All I'm doing is continuing where we left off. And it feels like that to them, and it's my intention to them. So I never get blown off. I'll send an email when someone gets back to me. Occasionally, I may have to send two because somebody got busy or they missed it. But never do I have to send more than two emails to anyone without getting a response. And that, to me, says everything about the way that we can treat people and communicate with them so they never feel like they have to avoid us because we did something in that conversation where we swore we didn't want to be pushy or salesy, but actually showed up that way. We're doing a disservice.
If I can just count the number of times I get solicited on LinkedIn, on my emails, and it's all this long-winded thing about how their company is wonderful and it's going to serve me. And before they even get to know me, like especially on LinkedIn, when they send you a private message and the only thing they send you is how their company is going to be able to work with you to do X, Y, Z, and I don't even know who they are, and their calendar link. And I'm thinking, are you really getting sales out of this? I don't know. They must if they're doing it. But I don't think that they're getting the kind of sales that they need, or they're probably burning through the connections a lot faster. That first impression is so important. This conversation is so full of just valuable nuggets. How do people work with you? Who do you serve? How do you help them? And how can they learn more?
Thank you for asking. I have what I call the sales clinic and the sales messaging clinic. Just like you check into a clinic and you fill out some forms and you talk about where your pains and problems and issues are, and then you go see a doctor and they start asking questions and then they resolve those. I start out with a business scan and a sales MRI, and I will sit down with someone and go through their whole sales process to find out what's broken, what's missing, what's hurting, what is in the way of you clearly, consciously, and openly having great conversations with awesome potential clients, but where you're missing the mark. And then we go in there and we clean it up. And then I also help people with their messaging. So whether it's prospecting messaging or follow-up messages, how do you send an email after you meet someone at a networking event without sounding like it's all about you? And any type of communication that you're sending out to people, together we create messaging that sounds like them. It's customized messaging and a process that fits their unique business, their unique personality, and the way they want to show up and differentiate themselves. So it could be anywhere from 6 weeks to 6 months coaching. It's so individual that I don't have a one-size-fits-all program like a lot of coaches do. You have to work with me for 6 months. No, you don't. You might get it in 6 weeks and we are done. But it all starts out with a scan and an MRI.
Basically diagnosing the issue and then coming up with something very custom to address it.
Perfect. That's beautifully said.
What is your website and how can they learn more, Liz?
They can learn more at lizwendling.com. LinkedIn, YouTube. I've got a ton of videos there, and even on LinkedIn, and then Amazon. I have all of my books on Amazon. So they can certainly poke around and find lots of information on how I teach sales in the modern world, a modern sales process, not a process from the 1990s.
I know they're going to pick up so many valuable pieces of information throughout as they stay connected with you. Any business without successful sales is not a business. It's the lifeblood of everything. And if you're not able to build that, then your business will not stick around.
You nailed it. That is exactly it. Without sales, how could you stay in business? Without someone paying you for what you do, how does one stay in business?
You don't. So you have to decide if you really want to do this business, then you need to get good at it. And it's not difficult if you approach it, I guess, from a heart-centered place as opposed to the traditional, we think of sales as negative. It really isn't. It's about helping people.
And people have been conditioned that, oh, you don't want to be a used car salesperson. But even today, used car salespeople don't even sound like used car salespeople because they too have realized that they had to change their ways. So I always feel so bad for used car salespeople because they don't even sound like that anymore. Yet people still use that as a derogatory term.
Yeah, because it's been ingrained in our minds for so long. It's the quintessential example of what not to do. Here's the thing. If something's not working, pivot. You got to try something new. We already know it's not working. If you keep doing it, you're just digging a deeper hole.
Exactly right. Yes. And when you change your sales mindset, you change your sales results. It's that simple.
Liz, thank you. I selfishly enjoy these conversations because I get all pumped up and I learn new things. And the idea here is to not keep it to myself, is to share it with the world because everybody else needs this. And I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing.
And I'm glad you do it as well. I appreciate it. It was so nice to chat with you.
Same here, Liz. That's a wrap for this episode of Live Blissed Out. Thanks to Liz Wendling for joining us, and thanks for listening. If you have a question or comment for a future episode, all you have to do is go to speakpipe.com/LBOVM or click the link in the show notes to leave a brief audio message. If you find value in our show, please visit liveblissedout.com to reach out, subscribe, and share on social media. This show is made possible through listeners like you. Thank you. So long for now, and remember to keep moving forward.